Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being here today. I so appreciate all of you who check out our podcast and listen to it. And we just appreciate you just being a patron or just a supporter of the podcast. I know some of you get to listen to all of them. Some of you catch them sporadically. But regardless, we just appreciate you and so glad that you take the time to check them out. You know, today, without delay, I'm going to just go right into this, and today's is going to be specifically for leadership. I want to share with you and talk to you a little bit about whole vision leadership, really whole vision leadership, and we're going to be covering a lot of information today, and I'm not going to get through it all, but we're going to get through a big portion of it. But let me begin just by sharing with you, when I was young and I started out, you know, in church, I grew up in the church, and I saw all kinds of things. I mean, I saw people on fire for God, and I saw people, they'd dance on the pews, they'd run around the church, they were excited. I saw people be healed and delivered and miracles of all kind. But here we are, you know, 40 years later, and, you know, I'm just about to turn 40, and I see that ministry 40 years later, and they're in the same building with the same building fund. The same building with the same building fund. And I look at that and I think about all the powerful things that I remember seeing there as a child and what God has, what God really did. And I hear one thing, and that's that the glory never got out. The glory never got out. Not because they weren't anointed, but because power is not in leadership. Listen to what I just said, and we're going to break this down today. So that even though the great things happened there, people were saved and healed and delivered and all those things, the glory never got out. Not because they weren't anointed, but because power is not leadership. Power is not leadership. All right. See, we've been around powerful people, but they didn't preach leadership to us. All right, we've all probably met someone who was just powerful and anointed, but not everyone who's powerful teaches leadership. Right, many of us can be surrounded by people who started with us, but they didn't grow with us, and it can put us in a position where now we're stuck deciding, did I go with loyalty or did I go with competence, right? I've often found that loyal people aren't always competent and competent people aren't always loyal. And so where we end up being in a position as a leader sometimes where you don't know who to trust with your vision. Do you trust a loyal person or do you trust a competent person? You see, I've found that you don't have to be a great preacher to be a great leader, right? You can be a great preacher and not a good leader. You can be a good leader and not a great preacher. Just like you can bring in a gifted singer to lead the music ministry of your church, but they won't grow the ministry, right? Because suddenly you and I will realize that that person is not a good leader. What grows ministries, what grows churches, is good leadership, all right? I've seen so many times where everyone in the church is trying to be gifted enough to be on the stage, but it is not the people on the stage that make the church work. It's the people behind the scenes, the people working right now while, you know, I'm recording this podcast. The people that, it's not always the people that are seen. What makes ministry work, what makes the church work, is the people that are working behind the scenes. We appreciate and we need the people on the platform, don't get me wrong, but it's really the people that are behind the scenes. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, the place of illumination and revelation is the eye, right? You know, think of it. I want you to think of it this way. If you ask the people who follow you, what is that vision? All right. Most of the people who follow you know where and know what, but they don't know why. If we ask people, what is the vision? They'll know where and they'll know what the vision is, but why? And what I've found is you cannot inspire people with where or what. You can only inspire them with why. You can only inspire them with why. Think about that scripture. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now we understand when Jesus said, without a vision the people perish. All right. Because see, your vision should be further than your wallet. All right. You know, think of it this way. Money is called currency. Currency is like water. And water fills space where there is no space. The water doesn't fill. All right. Water fills space. Currency fills space. If your vision is not further than your wallet, no money is coming. Do you hear what I'm saying? That our vision has to be further than our wallet. All right. And Jesus said, without a vision, the people perish. So money is called currency, and currency is just like that water. Just like water fills space where there is no space, the water doesn't fill. All right. If there's not space anywhere, the water can't fill it. Water fills space. Currency fills space. And so if your vision is not further than your wallet, there is no money coming. I thank God for big visions. That means that currency, finances, is coming to fund it. You see, your vision may not be big enough to draw the money you've been praying for. All right, we have to make sure that our vision is big enough for the need that we're asking for. If you have the money to fulfill your vision, then it's not a vision. If the money is already in your checking or savings account, or if your ministry already has the money that's needed, then friends, it's not a vision. Nobody is going to help you do what you already have together, all right? But people come and people show up and people give and people support things that aren't already together. I think about, you know, one mistake I made early in ministry, this was years ago now, once we got in a new building, I stopped building. And yeah, I should have taken a rest, but I stopped. And people who were builders started leaving the church. I don't mean actual builders, but people who are really called to be a part of building a church and growing it and just seeing it continually growing, they started leaving the church. You know, what I've learned is don't stop building once you start, because no one wants to sit behind a parked car. I don't know about you, but you don't want to go anywhere today and be driving down the road and then end up getting stopped by someone who parked on the road. No one wants to sit behind a parked car. Now, remember the Bible says that the woman is a helpmate to the man, right? The woman is the helpmate to the man. There is nothing more frustrating to a woman who is to help me, let me think how I want to put this. There's nothing more frustrating to a woman who is to help a man with a vision than being married to a man that doesn't have one. All right? I want that to make sense to you, because I struggled to get out what was in my head out to you. There's nothing more frustrating to a woman who is called to help a man that they're married to than being married to a man who doesn't have a vision. All right? There are people who won't follow other people with small dreams. There just are. You and I must have a dream big enough to draw people. Just like you want in your relationship, in your marriage, and for your family. You need to have a vision for your family. Your wife needs to see that you have a vision. You know, because God has anointed women. Ladies, listen up. You've been anointed. You were created, even, and the Bible says, to be a helpmate, to be a support system to your spouse. And so some of your frustration comes from the fact if you are with your husband and he doesn't have a vision. Because here you are, you're wanting to support something, you're wanting to aid something, you're wanting to get behind and assist in something, but you don't know where, you don't know how. Some of you may have even said those words to your husband. He's frustrated, he's cranky, he's irritable, he's all these things, and you've probably said, I want to help you, but I don't know how. And the reason you don't know how is because he hasn't taken a leadership position. he hasn't assumed his position as a leader, as a visionary of the house. And so it creates frustration in you because you're someone that you're anointed, you're called to be a helpmate. But what are you called to help do if there's not been a vision placed before you? That same thing is true with women in church. Women get frustrated, and women can often get very easily discouraged and feel disconnected when there is no vision. Women need to have something to help. They're called to be a helpmate. And so when there isn't something laid out before them, then oftentimes they'll look for things to do, or they'll just try to put their hands on something, and just because that's what they're called to do. You know, we have to understand something. You and I, we don't need bulldozers and cranes to build a chicken coop. You need to build something big enough to demand heavy-duty equipment to be around you. You know, if I'm going to bring in heavy-duty equipment over at our new facility, then I have to make sure that we're doing work that requires it, right? I don't need to have it all around me if what I'm building is too small. Come on now. Hear what I'm saying. You don't need the bulldozers and the cranes to build a chicken coop. You know, you don't need to build some. You and I, we have to be able to build something big enough to demand the heavy-duty equipment to be around us. You know, if you're going to have a vision, you need to have a vision big enough to demand having the heavy hitters around you, having other people with big vision, having people around you with big checkbooks, having people around you with huge business ideas and invention ideas, and people that are willing to believe God for the extreme. If you haven't believed it, declared it, and spoken it, stop asking God to send bulldozers when you're happy in a chicken coop. Are you hearing me? You know, if you have not, for your ministry, if you have not believed and declared and spoken it, stop asking God to send the big stuff when you're happy and you're content in your chicken coop, right? Stop asking God for resources that don't fit your vision. You and I need to be asking God for things. He said that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You and I have got to ask for resources that fit the vision. All right? You need a dream that is worthy of the prayer life that you've been praying. All right? Don't be scared to cause the currency to flow into something that has space. All right? Let me just say, right now our ministry's in a crazy position. We are in a building where we are operating from and holding services. We're preparing to move into a much, much, much larger building. It was a school, and that's going to be our new home base. At the same time now, a third building has been given to us. It's a functioning church building. Beautiful. And so we're going to be launching into satellite ministry. I cannot be scared to cause the currency to flow into something that has space. It's going to take a lot of money to operate all of these facilities, all right? Do we have the congregation for it? Probably not. Is the giving there? You know, all these things I could begin to question in the natural. But I'm not scared to cause the currency to flow into something that has space. I'm not intimidated by it, all right? One prophet asked God for rain, and God says, "You don't have enough space for me to send rain." He said, "You need to dig ditches in your valley." In other words, when you make room for me, I will be Jehovah Jireh in your life. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you need something bigger. You need to see something that you can't finish. You need to get in trouble that only God can get you out. Then he can send help. You need to believe God for something that you cannot do yourself. So I have to ask you today, leaders, where are your dreams at? Where are your dreams at? What are you dreaming for? What are you believing God for? What are you saying that it's God or bust, you know? I mean, what is it that you're going to believe God for? Remember, Paul said, "I was a fool for Jesus Christ." Right? I was a fool for Jesus. He was willing to look a fool for the cause of Christ. You know, people are going to say that about me. People already are. They think we're crazy, you know? But I'm here to tell you that your dream is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. If you can see the invisible, my friend, you can do the impossible. If you can see the invisible, You can do the impossible. You need to get yourself in a space that only God can get you out of. Come on, somebody. Hear me. I'm preaching good to you now. You need to get yourself in a space that only God can get you out of. So many times we try to rationalize faith. We try to make what we need to be believing God for make sense on a spreadsheet. Friend, I want to tell you something, that if when you and I are believing God, when you and I are pursuing vision, it is not going to make sense on your Excel spreadsheet. It is not going to make sense to the accountant, to the treasurer, to people who are dollars and cents, guys. But it takes people with vision. We have to be willing to get ourselves in a space that only God can get us out of. Don't be afraid. I'm not intimidated now to be running three buildings and paying bills that are thousands and thousands, because I'm willing to put myself in a space that I know only God can get me out of. Think about it this way. There's, what, 206 bones on our body? I think that they say there's 640 to 850 muscles in the body. 7 miles of new blood vessels for every pound of fat. 724 trillion skin cells in our body. But you and I only have two eyes. Two eyes. The light of the entire body is in your eyes. 724 trillion skin cells black out when I close my eyes. The muscles become powerless to see when I close my eyes. Oh my, somebody's getting revelation today. My eyes are nothing compared to the mass of the body it gives light to. Nothing compared to it. Friends, what I'm saying is it's important that you have a whole vision, not a fractured vision, not a vision that is controlled by your wallet. If your vision is controlled by your wallet, your vision will always be on crutches, and your wallet will always be empty. Friend, you got to grow your wallet into your vision. Don't grow your vision into your wallet. All right? Grow your wallet into your vision. Don't grow your vision into your wallet. Right? People aren't going to give $100,000 when you're in a $36,000 building. When you get into a big space, big help starts to come, right? The Bible says the Lord is a present help in trouble, right? I never saw God show up until I got in trouble. God doesn't show up in your comfort. He shows up in your crisis. He doesn't show up till you are in a fiery furnace. He doesn't show up till you're locked in a jail. He doesn't show up till you're out of money and have an issue of blood. He shows up in your present trouble. Hallelujah. He shows up in your present trouble. I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for showing up in our present trouble. Thank you, Father, right now that you're showing up in people's current situation. You're showing up in our financial situation. You're showing up in our debt. You're showing up in our problems that are circling us. You're showing up in our physical problems. You're showing up in our physical needs, our current crisis, God, of all kinds. You're showing up right now. You're a God of present trouble. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that you're, the Lord is a present help in trouble. I thank you that you're a present God. I thank you that, God, you're a God of right now. For somebody right now listening, He is a God of right now. Hallelujah. He is with you. He said He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Heavenly Father. I bless your name. Just if you're listening right now, I want you just to begin to thank and praise Him right now as you're listening for His present help. Hallelujah. I just sense His anointing and His presence in this office right now as I record this. He's a present God. Yes, He is with you. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our source. He's our resource right now. Thank you, God. Praise you, Heavenly Father. I glorify you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Example after example, friends, we see where he shows up when we're in a position we can't get out of. He showed up for the woman with the issue of blood, amen. He showed up for blind Bartimaeus. He shows up when we run out of money. He shows up when we're locked in a jail like Paul and Silas. He shows up when we're in a fiery furnace. That's the God that he is. God doesn't show up in our comfort, but he always shows up in our crisis. Friend, do not be afraid to move forward just because it looks like there's a potential crisis. Don't be afraid to move forward just because you don't see it making sense on a balance sheet or because you can't make the math work. Friend, I'm telling you that God is a God that will defy every mathematical principle I know. That is the God that I serve. God is a God that two plus two doesn't have to equal four, because God is a God that he's a God of multiplication. God is a God that will take a few and make it enough. He's a God that will multiply fish and he will multiply a few loaves of bread. That's the God that we serve. Friend, do not shy away from whole vision. Do not shy away from moving forward and believing God for more, because God always shows up. He's a present help. He's a present help in our trouble. Hallelujah. Some of you are sitting back and you're waiting and you've taken a back seat because you see potential trouble. Don't shy away from that. You are here to be almost as if a spiritual wrecking ball to shatter mindsets and ideals and people's thought patterns, and that show the people around you just what God can do. If you're believing it in your spirit, if you see it by the Spirit of God, step out and begin to believe God for it. Say, I've got whole vision. Remember that scripture that I shared with you. Hallelujah. Remember, I said the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Friend, you got to know it is the eye, just your two small eyes, that give light to the rest of the body. Hallelujah. You just got to have whole vision. If you can see it by the Spirit, it's enough. It's enough. Do not fear. Do not fret. Do not worry. Don't even lose sleep. Friends, I refuse to lose sleep over what I already know God has in control. I'm not going to lose sleep over running three buildings. I'm not going to lose sleep over all the bills that those bring and the insurance and everything else. No, because it is God. God gave us a vision. God has provided. God continues to have people giving us property and things. We've been given vehicles. We've been given, you name it, tractors. We've been given all sorts of things. And yet, every time that we believe God for something, or even the vision is so vast that he's given us, God gives us things we didn't even know we needed. Hallelujah. Because the light of the body is the eye. God knows. You and I have got to maintain our focus. We've got to maintain our vision. Keep your eye fixed on the vision. He's a present help on your trouble, my friend. He's a present help, and he's with you right now. You know, I just sense the anointing so strong. I could go on right here and I could just begin to move on and teach to you. I wanted to move into some other parts of this teaching, but I'm going to stop this podcast right here. Some of you are going to say, oh man, it was just getting good. Yeah, well, I just sense the anointing strong, and I know this for someone that's going to hear this. You heard just what you needed. You got just what you need. And I believe God is a God of timing, and I hear the Spirit saying, pause. And the rest of this I'm going to bring on part two. There may even be a part three because I have so much more to cover. I just know that. I've learned that enough about God. I've learned to be sensitive to the Spirit and know when enough is enough. And this is enough. You got what you needed. You got the download from heaven that you needed. Hallelujah. Friends, I want to encourage you to drop us a note, send us an email, let us know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Let us know if you're ministered to through this podcast. You can do that. If you're listening on Podbean, just jump over to the website at freshfirechurch.net. If you're listening on the website, just click on Contact Us, drop me a note, and just let me know that you were blessed by it, that you were ministered to it. If there's a way that myself and our leadership can pray for you, send that along. Let us know, hey, this is your vision, or this is what you're believing God for. The Bible says where any two or three agree, it shall be done. And we want to agree with you. So, friends, go on over to freshfirechurch.net. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think. Send us your prayer requests. Let us know about your vision. And we're going to believe God for you. And, of course, if you are able to support the ministry, you heard me say our vision is vast, vast. And now we have three properties. And we always need your help. And so if you can support the ministry, you can give on the website as well, or find the address to mail it to us if you would prefer to do that. But we appreciate those of you who are faithful in your giving and supporting this ministry. Friends, I love you. As always, we're praying for you. Friends, until next time, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.